we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Oh, good day, Brevard County. We hope you're having a good day. You might as well smile and laugh and enjoy life a little bit. I promise you it'll be worth it in the end. Besides that, it'll make your face feel better. So, oh, good Wednesday to you. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and I'm privileged to bring the Refresh radio broadcast to you on behalf of the saints at Merritt Assembly of God and our partners like Jits Concrete here in Cocoa, Florida. If you need any concrete or block work done, give them a call. Unfortunately, I do not have their phone number in front of me today, but if you would like their phone number, you can give us a call at the church, 454-4263, 454-4263. And we will get that information to you as soon as we can. So they have done lots and lots of work at Merritt Assembly of God through the years, and they will do a great job for you. So today is our vintage service, 11 o'clock in the morning, in our sanctuary, 165 North Grove Street. We're two blocks north of 520, two blocks west of Courtney Parkway, two blocks east of Tropical Trail, and pretty close to two blocks south of Merritt Avenue. I mean, we are right in the heart of Merritt Island, Merritt Park Place subdivision. If you know where Pizza Hut is, we're two blocks west of that. Most of the time I give landmarks according to restaurants there on Merritt Island because I like to eat, and I just love food. So, anyway, thank you for tuning in today. We've been talking about covenant. Tonight at 6 o'clock, we are going to be feeding our kids in our youth ministry, our kids ministry. Classes start at 6:30, food served at 6, and we have age appropriate classes for all of the girls. We have a boys class as well. And it is just a really, really good time. Also, we want to invite you to join us as we are in a season of 30 days of prayer. And what our goal is to pray and ask God to bring souls into a relationship with Him, that lives would be transformed, that marriages would be saved, that young people would have the course of their life changed from one running away from God to running to God. So we are believing that during this miracle resurrection season, that the greatest miracle of all, that a soul would be saved, that would take place in Merritt Island, Central Brevard County, this resurrection season. So that is what we're praying for. Our other goal is this, that the people of our church will have fallen so in love with prayer that it will end up not being 30 days of prayer, but it will become a lifestyle of prayer. And so make it a priority. Here's what I found, and that is this, that when we take the time to pray and not make it a monologue like this radio program is most of the time here, where I'm doing all of the talking, if we actually take time to hear from God, God will speak to us and give us the insight, the wisdom, and that we need. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. God's not dead. He's not retired. He's not even sick. He has not lost his voice. He's not lost his perspective. He is still a contemporary, right now God. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. He is a right now God. And so we pray that you would draw close to him this month of March here. We have been talking about covenant. We talked a little bit about Noah yesterday, how God had made a covenant with Noah that if he would be obedient to God's instruction, that there would be an ark that was created out of that. It would result in Noah and his entire family being saved. Now, I'd like to share with you, that's in Genesis chapter 6. I want to share with you that Noah spent 120 years, I believe it is, preaching righteousness to the people of his community. It wasn't that that ark was just designed for Noah and his family, but it was designed for whoever wanted to believe in God, whoever would forsake doing things their own way, that they too could enter the ark. And they scoffed at him, they mocked him, and they refused to come on board. And then it wasn't until it was too late that they realized that things were changing. There are biblical scholars that have looked at that and said that up until that time, that they believed that rain had never occurred upon the earth, that it was basically that the soil was hydrated by the dew coming up of a day. Now, I wasn't there, but I can tell you this, that God, every time there is a change coming, there's a covenant that he builds. And I thank God that that Jesus came and that he established a new covenant. And one day he is going to come and take us that where he is, there we may be also. Do I still believe that Jesus is coming again? Absolutely. Why do I believe that? The Bible says that he is coming again. Why do I give that credibility? Because it said he was coming the first time and he came. And if the Bible is accurate the first time, the Bible's going to be accurate the second time. And so that's where we are. So today I want to talk to you a little bit more about Noah, because Noah in Genesis chapter 9, this is on the opposite end of the flood. And in Genesis chapter 9 and verse number 11, it says, "Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you. For perpetual generations, I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." And God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." And so a byproduct, a manifestation, a second element to the covenant that God made with Noah was not only that he and his entire family would be saved. I want that part of the covenant with God. I want me to be saved. I want my wife to be saved. I want my kids to be saved. All of them are. I want my daughter-in-law to be saved, my future son-in-laws to be saved. I want my future grandkids to be saved. I want my entire household. I want my mom, my dad, my brothers, my brother, my sister, their families. I want all my nieces, my nephews. I want them all saved. And, you know, for the most part, they are. There are a few that have yet to enter into a covenant relationship. Have they had encounters with God? Yes. Have they entered into covenant with God? You know, I just keep praying for them. That's what I do. And so here in Genesis chapter 9, this is after the flood has dissipated. Noah has emerged, and God says, a second part of this covenant that I am making with you, Noah, is that there is, from this day forward, there's never going to be global destruction by a flood of water that happens again. Now, there are local floods. Those take place. Unfortunately, there's loss of life when floods come. That is a reality. But never again was the mass of humanity going to be eliminated due to a global flood. God said, "I did it once, and the next time I will not do it this way again. Now, it does say that there is a time when there is going to be global dealing with man. And, you know, we can talk about the global scale. It's, you know, the earth is going to be impacted. It's all of the elements, the heavens, all the way down to the elemental level are going to be impacted. And so that is something that is really, it is going to take place, but it won't be on a flood level. But here's the reality. Even if it doesn't happen on a global level, you and I are still going to have a personal one-on-one encounter with God. And that's what we need to be ready for. That's what we need to be ready for. And so God says, I'm going to give you evidence in the sky that this is going to be a part of the covenant. And every time you look up, you can see that I am once again keeping my word. And that is, there's going to be a rainbow in the heavens. The rainbow has been reassigned, repurposed by certain segments of our society. They want to try and take over that symbol and make it represent their lifestyle choice. But every time a rainbow appears in the sky, because of the prism, the light frequencies that show up as the moisture and the atmosphere and the light goes through it, every time you see that, you can say God is faithful, that he will not destroy the earth again by flood. And so there was a sign, there was an evidence, just as later on there's going to be a covenant with Abraham that would manifest in a fleshly body, and there would be evidence of that. God says there's evidence of covenant. Covenant is not just a philosophical thing. It is not just an intellectual. It is not an abstract, something that cannot be seen. If you are in covenant with God, there is going to be visible evidence. When Barnabas and Saul traveled, when Barnabas was sent to check out the city, he saw the evidence of the grace of God. He saw the evidence of the grace of God. I've been in ministry for a long time now, over 30 years. I've been senior pastoring for 23 years. And I tell you where I am, and don't call me a skeptic, but here's where I'm at. I've encountered a lot of people who could do a lot of talking. There are a lot of people who can say what you want to hear. They can say the right things. There are a lot of people who speak church language, Christianese, if you will. There are a lot of people who know the things to do. They know how to come in and fit in. But I'm not as interested in the boasts that people make of themselves as I am of the evidence that I see in their life. I've told you before about my pastor that I was raised under, and he's still alive. Some days he's in more pain than other days, and he's in his 90s now. Love that man to pieces. He was just a great encouragement to my wife and I here a few weeks ago when we were visiting and preaching in Oklahoma. And I may have told this story before, but they were looking for Sunday school teachers. I believe that's a good sign when your church is growing, and it did. That church grew from 37 to over 1,200 back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And so as they were growing, they needed more Sunday school teachers, and so I volunteered. I went up to him and I said, I would like to be a Sunday school teacher. And, you know, he knew that I had a call to ministry on my life. And so I went and I volunteered. And here's the strange thing. For the next 3 months, there was not anything mentioned or said about the fact that I was willing to volunteer. And I just figured, oh, well, maybe they found somebody else and all of that. But one day they came And they said, hey, we'd like for you to teach Sunday school. And it's like, this is awesome. And so I was probably 17 or 18 years old at the time. And they said, we want you to teach fourth, fifth, and sixth grade boys. I didn't realize that they had just given me the most challenging class what had a reputation of being the most challenging class. And I couldn't tell you any of the lessons that I taught back then. But I went in there and we taught Sunday school, and I found that if you are the teacher, in order to prepare for the class, you end up learning more than the students do. But when I reflected on, I wonder why he didn't say anything to me, this pastor that I knew, that he knew me, had been over to our house. They would come over and visit. They'd play games with my parents. I mean, we weren't just people inside this large church, and he didn't know me. We were some of the first people that had attended the church back when it was in the 30s. And he was watching. He was looking for evidence. He was looking for evidence. And so when you and I are walking in covenant with God, we are going to see evidence. It's going to be seen. People are going to be able to take notice of it. If you are unsure about whether God is going to wipe you out or not, just the next time it rains, look up in the sky. When you see the rainbow, say, you know what? God is still showing mercy today, because that's what that is. That's a sign of mercy, that God knew how to save Noah and his family, and God knows how to save you and your family. So let's move on to Genesis chapter 15, if we can. Genesis chapter 15, there is another covenant established. It is the covenant that is established with Abraham. Let me just read this to you. And it says in verse number 18, and Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Then God said, no, I've gone over to 17. Let me take you to 15, Genesis chapter 15. And it says there, on the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your descendants, I have given this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. So God established a covenant with Abraham right then on that day. Now, if I can just share something. I prepared my notes, but I've been in Genesis chapter 17 for a long time, but God just dropped something in my spirit, and I want to say it before I forget about it, and that is, God had made a covenant with Abraham in chapter 15, and in chapter 17, he says, I'm establishing my covenant with Isaac, and he's not even been born yet. In fact, at this time, Isaac had not even been conceived yet. And I want just to declare to you right now that God longs to create a covenant with you, establish a covenant with you. He put the plan in motion. He put the actions in place. He did all of the work that was necessary thousands of years before you were born. And today, I think that it would be wise, and it would be in our best interest to say, you know what? I believe that a covenant with God, keeping the covenant with God that he wants to establish with me, would be a great thing. That's just something that dropped inside of me there. And so if some of you think that you have gone too far, done too much, that your situation is hopeless, I want you to know that God loves you. He wants to establish a covenant with you, and that would be in our best interest. So in chapter 15, verse number 18, it describes that there was a covenant that was made. In verse 9, God says, I'm going to work backwards here in chapter 15. It says, so he said to him, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, and a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two, down the middle, and placed each piece opposite the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. There was a sacrifice of the covenant that was made. And the enemy, or, you know, in this case, vultures, would love nothing more than to cut you off in process. No matter where you are, however long the process takes, maybe you are just now discovering or hearing that God wants to not only save you, but to walk in covenant with you. Maybe you're just now realizing that there's some effort that must be put into it on our part as well as God's part, that it's supposed to be an all-in thing. It's not just supposed to be a casual, every now and then whenever it's convenient type of relationship, but that we're supposed to be in this committed relationship and that we've got to bring everything we have to the table, if you will. And the enemy would come in and he would try and consume your sacrifice. He would try and interrupt the process. He will try and distract you. Sometimes he will even try to promote you into a work style or a work schedule that is inconvenient or will at least inhibit your covenant relationship with God. Now listen, our relationship with God is not work based. It's covenant based. My work is just part of what I bring to the table and surrender to God. In other words, I'm not working to earn my salvation. I'm working because of my salvation, but I'm also working because He's worthy of my best efforts. And not only that, there are other people out there that are in need of hearing the message of Jesus Christ, and they deserve me to do my best to communicate to them, hey, there's a Savior who died upon the cross that wants to save you. So there was a sacrifice that made him. Please understand that the enemy will not give you up without a fight. He will do everything he can to prevent you from stepping deeper in your relationship with God. He will try and inhibit your growth, prevent you from maturing in your faith. He wants to stunt your growth however he can. And so he will come and distract and attack or at least water down. If he can't water it down, he will try and get you stuck in a spiritual adolescent condition to where you do not mature. He will do whatever he can to prevent the establishment of a people walking in covenant with their king. A lifetime bond together, walking the same path together, who fight each other's battles and celebrate each other's victories, who are there to tackle their debts and be a joy and a pleasure to one another. That's what this is all about. But what I really want to talk about, and this is going to be tough to get into here in just the few minutes we have left, but I want to share with you verse number 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." And so what I wanted to pass along with you is that this, the benefit of the covenant for you and I is God. The greatest part of the covenant that we receive is that we receive our reward, and our reward is God. Abram, I'm not just going to save you and your family. Abram, I'm not just going to enter into a covenant that there is not going to be a mass extinction of humanity again, but due to a global flood. Abram, I'm entering into covenant with you, and what I'm giving you is I'm giving you myself. You know, here at Easter, we start looking at what people have deemed is worth. Judas looked at his relationship and with Jesus, and it was worth 30 pieces of silver. Peter looked at his relationship with Jesus, and his self-dignity, his reputation, was of more value. So he could not even withstand the withering accusation of a servant girl who said, "You were also with him." And he actually called down curses on himself. He said, "I told you once, I told you twice, and now I'm telling you a third time, I do not know this man." And I don't know, what your price is, but I can tell you that what Satan is trying to prevent is for you and I walking in the fullness of our reward. You see, here, God is not just your reward. He's not even just your great reward. God is your exceedingly great reward. It's because of covenant. It's because of covenant. He said, Abram, I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. There is no amount of money, no healing, no job, no promotion, no relationship, no achievement that can ever compare with the exceedingly great reward that is available to the covenant people of God. Okay? You know what? In the New Testament, when I see the word exceedingly, I think of that verse that says that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think or imagine. And so if I set those two side by side and said, which one would you take if you had the choice of one or the other? Would you take the him doing something exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think, or would you take him? You see, most of the time we just need God to come in an emergency and deal with our crisis and get us through our problem. But I'm here to tell you that if we walk in covenant with God and say, God, you are the greatest treasure in my life, you are my exceedingly great reward, we not only get his person and his presence, but we also get his ability. You see, that exceedingly great reward that he does is because we walk in covenant with him. And so today, I pray that you would recognize just how desperately we need him and what a great opportunity has been afforded to us. You see, in the Old Testament, there were covenants that were established with a person here or a person there and a person over here. But now, since Jesus' work upon the cross, covenant is available to us all. And I pray that you would avail yourself of the exceedingly great reward that is ours in a relationship, a covenant relationship with God. Father, we just thank you today. God, life is so much better with you than it is without you. And Lord, I pray today that we would realize that living as a Christian is not a sacrifice. It is a privilege. It is an honor. And Lord, we pray that everything that you do in our life would be appreciated, and we honor and thank you for it. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.